Connect with others in the Awaken Therapist community and join us over on Patreon. When you become a member of the Awaken Therapist community, you'll gain access to the exclusive consultation portion of this episode. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. I'm Harmony Quiker, licensed counselor, author, and visiting instructor at Naropa University, where I teach Gestalt therapy. I created this podcast to support therapists in exploring deeper dimensions in their work with clients. You'll notice that in each episode, my guest therapist stays anonymous. This is to preserve the anonymity of the client they present in our case consultation available on Patreon. In this episode of the Awaken Therapist podcast, I meet with a Gestalt therapist who works with clients who have complex PTSD. We consult about a case where the client's overpowering perfectionism has the therapist feeling stuck with how to move forward. We also talk about our own expanding capacity for bringing our innate wisdom into this highly intuitive form of therapy. I hope you enjoy this episode. One thing I've been thinking about is how Gestalt is such an intuitive system of therapy, and it really calls on us to anchor into our own intuition even more as we do this work with clients. And I've been curious to hear how that's been for you, your relationship with your intuition and working with clients in that way.
It's been a growing practice. I feel like I have to stretch quite a bit. And then when I get those moments where I feel like I get some clarity, it's pretty magical. Some of the things I try to continue cultivating is, you know, definitely tracking the felt sense for me and knowing when it's my clients. That's a cornerstone of my work. But also just trying to see what else is in the field and sometimes noticing like blurriness with clients, and then things get really sharp all of a sudden. That's been the newest one for me, of just noticing like when something clicks, it's like they arrive in a different way. And that's been really, really beautiful to just witness. And then for me to get curious about and explore. So that's probably where I am right now.
That moment of clarity is such beautiful information. And similarly with those moments of murkiness, it's also really beautiful information. And, you know, to not assign meaning, but to be curious, like, oh, there's murkiness here. And, you know, what is that murkiness communicating? Like, what is the consciousness of murkiness communicating or needing in this moment? And similarly, when the client arrives at more clarity, there can be this like sharpness almost, like where everything sort of like comes together in this crystalline magic. I can feel it in my body, and I see you nodding your head too. Like in my experience, a synergistic felt sense along with that clarity. And also when we ask the client, like, oh, what do you notice now? Something seems to have moved, and they can affirm it. Now we have this like shared understanding that this intuitive insight that's beyond logic, that might be beyond like physical matter, is something that we're both experiencing and share together, which is really beautiful and sacred.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's something about that like locking in and clarity moment where it's just, it really can take my breath away.
The other piece of it that I find is that the more I use my intuitive senses, the louder the senses get and the more frequent the transmissions happen. Does that happen for you too?
That's why I say I'm kind of growing still and really trying to be intentional about it, because I remember learning that as a student and feeling like there's no way I'll get there. And then starting to see it happen, or you know, words coming to mind that they didn't say, and I check with them, and all of these things that start clicking has really helped me as a newer clinician really be excited about leaning into it.
There's also this piece around like having the information and holding it loosely. You know, I talk a lot about holding our intuitive insight loosely. Like, our intuition doesn't need to be right. I think a lot of clinicians withhold their intuitive insight because they don't know, is it right? Is this thing that I'm feeling relevant here? There's really only one way to find out, and that's to offer it as a gift to our clients and to see if it fits with them or if they're tracking something else. And that's really the collaboration and the consensual piece of this work too.
Yes, I love that. And the moments where it's like, no, that's not it. It's like, it just gives me something else to be aware of. So it's so helpful and really fun too, honestly. It makes it a very playful experience.
I love that you said that, right? Because there's no like right, rigid way or formulaic way to do this. And it is this really fun exploration. And I find that clients enjoy the exploration too. Like to know that I'm curious about how they're seeing it and this is how I'm seeing it. And we're working together in this authentic engagement. It's so enlivening, and dynamic.
Absolutely.
I've also been sort of just wondering if you're willing to speak about the cultural reflexivity with this work and with Gestalt, what you've found in terms of the limitations and the relevance to various populations that you work with.
I have like different groups of clients generally, but I can say when working with a lot of clients from the Latina background, and they have all been female, for me, cis females, but there's quite a bit of expectation culturally for how one should relate to others before themselves. So it's an interesting invitation when I try to bring them to contact with themselves in sessions. And the ones that are also coming to see me are curious about that because a lot of them feel like they're really not doing so well because they keep giving and they don't know who they are. They're trying to figure out how to speak up, but they have to figure out what they like, what they want first. Who am I? And that's where Gestalt actually kind of is a beautiful playground comes to mind because we can just be with these ideas and see how they're even responding somatically, like emotionally, within our relationship as they're exploring these big questions. And it can be a really helpful place, especially with like being able to presence others or work with interjects, allows them to have that space that feels safer before they do that with their families and maybe change the culture of how they want to do things. So that's been really interesting. And I think it actually plays well, but it's not the default setting, I would say, to think of oneself in that way.
I love the way that you highlighted that the container of the therapy that you're doing is an opportunity for them to explore what feels true and congruent for them, given how different checking in with oneself is from the way that they've been conditioned or the culture has taught them how to be, especially as a woman. The other thing that I was thinking as I was listening to you is how in this work, there really is no right way for a client to be. And so, if a client doesn't want to check in with their body, then that's the way that the client is. And we contact them as they are. We're not like forcing them into their body. And so, when a client genuinely wants to feel more connected with themselves, which I would say most clients generally do, but it's still this important element and ingredient to this work, their sovereign desire to connect with themselves and the people in their lives in a different way.
Yeah, that definitely tracks. And that ability to be flexible and like what is right for me, it doesn't feel like it has to be a certain way, but it sure is helpful to explore.
Yes, it really is helpful to explore. Yes. And Gestalt is an exploration, like the whole way through. Are there any other limitations that you found? Any other that occur to you?
I think when I start to hit the developmental wounds, I'm still trying to stretch in how to let them feel me and notice themselves with their own patterns. So they don't feel alone and they can feel the relational alchemy, but still bring like balance out the awareness of how their patterns are interrupting contact with me and others outside of session. So that part can be a little tricky, especially for some of my clients.
That makes sense. Attachment wounds, as they relate to the wound of colonialism or the wound of, cultural context, can really cause a lot of complexity. Like if joining one's culture relies on being aligned with these patterns, and then they step out of those patterns. What does that really mean for their belonging into this group?
Exactly.
And you mentioned different contact boundary disturbances. I often wonder how it is to see contact boundary disturbances in real life, like with clients outside of the learning when you first are orienting towards Gestalt. How has that been for you?
For me, it was easier to feel it when it was in moments of hypo arousal and like seeing through me, clients all of a sudden like kind of gazing away, and just felt like all of a sudden I couldn't register much in my own body, whereas there might have been something before. Really, the initial contact boundary disturbances I could track as an early clinician was more of like the trauma symptoms. That was a really helpful, like that dysregulation. I was like, oh, wait, where'd you go? And that got me really curious. But the seeing through is probably the most potent for me, because all of a sudden it's just like this very lonely sense as a clinician. And getting curious there, it's like, I don't know where they went.
I'm wondering how you relate to that with a contact boundary disturbance.
I think at this moment, it feels like, ooh, perhaps being too much seen, that was too close. I need to like back up a bit in order for them to feel that they can be with me and in this hold the capacity, because something was enough to pull them out. A pattern pulled them out for some reason. There's wisdom there.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite inherent wisdoms of Gestalt is really how deflection comes from an experience that is too much to handle, where a person doesn't have the inner resources to really process the experience. And so it's such a wise strategy to turn away and to leave. They don't have the inner resources or the relational resources to know how to move through that experience. And the turning towards and opening and deepening into contact is really what allows for the rest of the work to unfold. And so before we even understand the introjections that, you know, they've acquired or what they're projecting onto their environment, that contact with themselves and with their body is paramount to everything else that we do with a client. So that makes sense to me that was the first sort of entry point that you could see. Mm-hmm. And when you are working with disassociation now, like how is that for you to be in the room with a client who disassociates and then their trauma response?
It's interesting because we could have it with like the hyper arousal, and it's like that, you know, very loud, like crying and like big emotion. And then there's the opposite. So one is just knowing that that's that can be true. And I had to learn that. And being with it now, I can say is a lot less jarring than at first, because I, with my own stuff, thinking like, oh, I did something wrong here, versus just holding, oh, this is the pattern. It's okay. And just like, let's just notice that and take it a step at a time. But it was like in the body, I would have certain responses depending on what symptoms I was seeing. And so that gave me a lot of information about pretty much my attachment style and how I respond to it. So knowing that, knowing how I respond to certain symptoms that I might see in the room can really help me keep my seat. And then I can, you know, maybe not get so worried about things. I can just hold it and just hold steady. And I can, again, I'm holding that information too, which just gives me like a little bit more of the mapping as I'm interacting. And like, huh, curious how it's showing up here is similar to what likely my client is doing outside. And so it's really helpful information once I got less fearful.
I really believe that one of the most reparative offerings that we can give our client is contacting them when they leave, when they disassociate, and also when they're in the big grief and, you know, crying, as you were talking about before. But to stay seated in ourselves is a requirement of that. Because if we lose our seat, we actually can't contact them as they are. And so, you know, as you were talking, you said that you had learned that you didn't cause that, right? That you're not the reason why they're disassociated or crying. And that was your work with your attachment system. And it's also part of this work of being in a transpersonal container. Because if I personalize what's happening here, then now the container is personal. And this is another reason why working with our own attachment system really does mitigate any potential counter transference that we have.
I'm just giggling on this end because it's so true. That is exactly it. As soon as I personalize, oops, like I need to really get curious.
I hear it with new therapists all the time where they do personalize and there's this like, I don't like this thing that my client is doing, or I have judgment towards my client. And the I that they're talking from is their persona. The persona is the aspect of them that doesn't like this thing about the client. And I think that it takes some time and some skill and capacity building to look at what's in the room and see that it isn't personal. That, for example, there's judgment is here. Maybe it's coming through me as a person, but judgment is in the field. And how can I be curious about this quality or the consciousness of judgment without holding on to it and making it mine? It sounds like that was part of your practice too, and working with trauma and working with clients. Listening to real life clinical examples is a wonderful way to increase awareness of how to approach your work from this powerful modality. To listen to the full episode where my guest and I consult about a challenging case, join us on Patreon. This is intended for educational purposes only, and the content here should not be taken as advice or clinical supervision. Find out more at thespirituallyaligned.com. If you want to learn more about the art of transpersonal counseling, check out the Awakened Therapist Signature Course at thespirituallyaligned.com. This is a go-at-your-own-pace course with non-contact recorded webinars, demos, practices, and PDF handouts where you can learn more about spirituality, consciousness, and subtle energy through the lens of Gestalt therapy. To learn more, check out our trainings at thespirituallyaligned.com and receive your course today sent directly to your inbox.